Hello, I'm Cynthia Lopez, Commissioner of the New York City Mayor's Office of Media and Entertainment. Welcome to the second of our film and television tours of Lower Manhattan. In 1966, Mayor John Lindsay issued an order establishing the Mayor's Office of Film, Theater, and Broadcasting, the first agency of its kind in the world. In the decades since, thousands of feature films and TV shows have been shot on the streets of New York, helping to build an industry that employs more than 130,000 New Yorkers and creating some of the most memorable moments in film history along the way. This tour is part of the Made in New York initiative, which celebrates film and television productions that shoot 75% of their project in New York City. I'll now hand over the tour duties to our guest narrator, Matthew Modine, who will accompany you for the rest of this tour of Lower Manhattan and the iconic film locations. We hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Matthew Modine. Like many actors and filmmakers, I came to New York to pursue my career and have worked in theater and film in the city ever since. I'm very pleased and honored to be leading you today on this special walking tour of film and television locations in Lower Manhattan, sponsored by the New York City Mayor's Office of Film, Theater, and Broadcasting. Like Tour 1, narrated by my friend Juliana Margulies, this tour should take about an hour, depending on how fast you walk. It will carry us from where we are now, at City Hall Park, to the site of the World Trade Center, then on to the Financial District around Wall Street, before finishing up in Battery Park, at the very foot of Manhattan. Let's get started, right at this spot. Location 1, City Hall, East Gate to City Hall on Park Row. We'll begin with City Hall itself, the white, jewel-like building which you can see pretty well through the gate in front of you. Commissioner Catherine Oliver told you something about the birth of the mayor's film office right here, but the building's connection to movies and television doesn't stop there. Over the decades, countless films have been set on the front steps of City Hall, usually showing heroes or celebrities being given the keys to the city or some other award. Some of those scenes were shot on stages, but others were filmed right here, on those wide brown stone steps. Like the scene in the 1989 movie, It Could Happen to You, in which the mayor gives an award to a heroic police officer, played by Nicolas Cage. Although the interiors of City Hall have often been recreated, most famously for TV's Spin City with Michael J. Fox, only rarely have films been allowed to shoot inside the real place. One was the 1996 feature City Hall, starring Al Pacino as the mayor, which filmed inside the actual Board of Estimate Chamber and several other historic rooms. Fans of TV's Law & Order and 30 Rock will also recall some recent scenes shot inside City Hall, in which the mayor of New York City was played by Mayor Bloomberg himself. Now let's head a few steps down to City Hall Park. Directions to Location 2. Follow the traffic on your left down Park Row and keep looking into the park until you see an ornate fountain. Then pause at the park entrance opposite Beekman Street. Location 2. City Hall Park, west side of Park Row at Beekman Street. It may be hard to believe, but this patch of greenery dates back to the colonial days, when it was the city's commons, the place where the colonists' cows were allowed to graze freely. It's been a public park for more than 200 years, but only a few years ago it was restored to its 19th century appearance, including the reconstruction of the exquisite Victorian-style fountain at its center. In 2005, the beautifully renovated landscape caught the attention of Andy Tennant, the director of the movie Hitch, who decided to use it for the scene in which Will Smith stumbles through the park with Eva Mendes by his side. In the story, Will has taken a bit too much allergy medicine, so the scene is played for laughs. But the romantic park setting, including the jewel-like fountain backlit by the filmmakers, suggests that something else might be happening too. Now onwards. Directions to Location 3. Continue walking down Park Row until you reach the bottom of City Hall Park, then follow the curve of the fence around to your right, to Broadway. Location 3. Park Row and the Woolworth Building. East side of Broadway, corner of Barclay Street. While we're talking mostly about film and television in this tour, we should remember that those industries are just a part of the city's cultural landscape. In fact, New York has been the nation's media capital ever since the idea of mass media itself was born, back in the 1840s, right here at the foot of Park Row. Here was where it all started, the country's first center of communications, the home not only of New York's early newspapers, the Herald, the Tribune, the New York Times, but the world's first wire service, the Associated Press, the printmakers Currier and Ives, and the photographer Matthew Brady, best known for his photos of Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War. The first great impresario of popular culture, P.T. Barnum, built his famous American Museum to your left, where that tan-colored office tower now stands at Broadway and Ann Streets. Here he presented the original Siamese twins, Cheng and Ang, as well as Tom Thumb, and countless other attractions. By the start of the 20th century, the entertainment district had moved uptown, but in 1913, a new neighbor arrived, the towering Woolworth Building to your right, which still looms over the park on the other side of Broadway. At 55 stories and nearly 800 feet, the ornate, Gothic-style tower was the tallest skyscraper in the world until the Chrysler Building was completed in 1930. It won't come as a surprise that the picturesque Woolworth Tower has been featured in many films, most recently in Enchanted from 2008. If you joined us for the Tribeca tour, you'll recall that in that film, Giselle, a Disney princess played by Amy Adams, discovers sadly that the castle she found on West Broadway was only a billboard. But by the end of the movie, she ends up in a real castle, or at least a building that looks like one, on the uppermost floors of the Woolworth Tower, which becomes the perfect setting for the climax of this modern-day fairy tale, featuring a princess, a dragon, and a lawyer who happens to be an eligible bachelor. Now let's head over to the side of the World Trade Center. Directions to Location 4. Cross to the other side of Broadway, walk down Barclay Street, one block to Church Street, then turn left and head one block toward Ground Zero. Location 4. The site of the World Trade Center, northwest corner of Church and Vesey Streets. This is as good a place as any to try to grasp the immensity of what we can no longer see. The 16-acre complex known as the World Trade Center, including the two 110-story towers that were destroyed on September 11, 2001. Because of their sheer height, the Twin Towers appeared in hundreds of films shot in the city since their completion in the 1970s, even if only as landmarks on the Manhattan skyline. To be honest, filmmakers who tried to work with the World Trade Center were often frustrated in their efforts to make it come alive. From Sidney Lumet's attempt to use the Windy Plaza for a musical number in The Wiz, to the 1977 remake of King Kong, in which the vast, empty space made even the famous giant ape look small. Filmmakers had better luck using the towers as a symbol of power and money. In Sidney Pollack's 3 Days of the Condor, for example, the buildings were completely convincing as the New York headquarters for the CIA. After the events of September 11th, of course, the meaning of this place changed completely. As what is now called Ground Zero, the Trade Center site has made a powerful appearance in several films, including Spike Lee's 25th Hour, made in 2002. In that film, the actors Barry Pepper and Philip Seymour Hoffman look down from an apartment window onto the 24-hour recovery effort below. The site was a grim but somehow perfect background for their somber discussion about a third friend, Edward Norton, who was headed for prison the next day. Now let's move on to the financial district. Directions to Location 5. Walk 3 blocks down Church Street, keeping the Trade Center site on your right until you get to Liberty Street and the small park called Liberty Plaza. Then turn left and walk 1 block up to Broadway, where you should cross over to the plaza with the red cube on it. Location 5, 1 Liberty Plaza and 140 Broadway, southwest corner of Broadway and Liberty Street. From here, you can see 2 black steel and glass towers on either side of Broadway, both designed by the same architecture firm and both surprisingly popular as film locations over the past few decades. Let's look across the street first, to the building you just passed, called 1 Liberty Plaza, designed by the noted architecture firm of Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill, also known as SOM. It was built originally for the U.S. Steel Corporation, which wanted to showcase its main product, steel, of course, through its architectural design. So those big steel beams on the exterior are not surface decoration, as they usually are, but the actual structure of the building. They give the tower quite a formidable appearance, making it perfect to play the New York headquarters of the FBI in the 1998 film The Siege, and making it even more shocking when the building is attacked in the film by a truck bomb, a scene that recalled the 1993 explosion in the World Trade Center's underground garage. Turning around to this side of Broadway, we see another building designed by SOM, 140 Broadway, a glassier, more subtle design that was hailed as the most elegant modern skyscraper in the city when it was completed in 1967. Known then as the Marine Midland Bank Building, and now occupied by Brown Brothers Harriman, it was considered the ultimate skin building, a sleek black monolith sitting on a floor of white marble, set off by a red steel cube designed by the sculptor Isamu Noguchi, which was poised improbably on one of its points. The simple, powerful composition quickly attracted the eyes of city's filmmakers, who proceeded to give the building a very different meaning than that suggested by its elegant design. In Alan Pakula's 1974 film, Clute, 140 Broadway is where the character played by Charles Chiaffi, the shadowy businessman at the heart of the film's dark plot, maintains his glassy, soulless office, high in the sky. In Paul Mazursky's An Unmarried Woman, made in 1978, the recently separated woman, played by Jill Clayburgh, enters the same building to visit the offices of her ex-husband, a feckless stockbroker played by Michael Murphy, who has left her for a younger woman. In both films, the sleek black tower becomes a symbol not of architectural elegance, but of ominous, masculine forces. Now on to Wall Street. Directions to Location 6. From here, follow the direction of traffic two blocks down Broadway, stopping on the sidewalk in front of Trinity Church at the corner of Wall Street. Location 6, Trinity Church, the west side of Broadway at Wall Street. The landmark Gothic Revival church across the street, built in 1846, was once the tallest building in New York, only to be dwarfed in the 20th century by towering skyscrapers all around it. The building and its churchyard have often appeared in period films, such as the 1974 version of F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby. But its most effective use in films, oddly enough, is one in which it's never seen. Patterns, made in 1956, was one of the first films to be shot on location in New York and takes place almost entirely on the top floor of 120 Broadway, a block to the north. Two executives, played by Van Heflin and Ed Begley Sr., get caught up in a battle over the company's presidency. An intense human drama, heightened by the sound of the bells of Trinity Church constantly tolling in the background. It's a reminder that the power of a city's location isn't always visual. Directions to Location 7. From here, walk down Wall Street two blocks, just past Nassau Street, and pause at the steps of the Federal Hall National Memorial on the left, in front of the Statue of Washington. Location 7, Federal Hall National Memorial, New York Stock Exchange. North side of Wall Street, at the corner of Nassau Street. Here we are at the heart of the historic financial center of New York and of America, a place that for all its hustle and bustle can often seem quite haunted. For example, the large temple-like building right behind you is the Federal Hall National Memorial, the very spot where George Washington was sworn in as the first President of the United States, an event memorialized by the big bronze statue of Washington right here. In the 1990 movie Ghost, you'll recall this as the spot where the invisible spirit played by Patrick Swayze convinces a phony spiritualist played by Whoopi Goldberg to give away a $4 million check she has managed to collect from one of the nearby banks. The startled nun to whom Whoopi gives the check, by the way, was played by the mother of the film's screenwriter, Bruce Joel Rubin. Before we head off, take a look across the street at the giant marble facade with its tall Corinthian columns and oversized flag. That's the New York Stock Exchange, of course. Its exterior has appeared in many films, but its famous trading floor had always been off-limits to the cameras. Until 1987, when the director Oliver Stone was able to convince the exchange to let him shoot there for his unforgettable portrait of the financial world, Wall Street. It didn't hurt that Oliver's own father had been a stockbroker with a long-time seat on the exchange. But in any case, he was able to get permission to spend a frenetic 45 minutes on the trading floor, filming actual brokers as they went about their business. Now let's head down toward Broad Street and over to the bowling green. Directions to location 8. Walk down Broad Street, past the stock exchange, for one block until you reach Exchange Place. Location 8, Exchange Place. Broad Street and Exchange Place. Look to your left, down Exchange Place, one of the original canyons of Wall Street. That white stone tower on the right, a block down, was the major setting for Spike Lee's Inside Man from 2006, starring Clive Owen as the mastermind criminal and Denzel Washington as the New York police detective trying to stop him. The building, called the Manhattan Trust Bank in the film, became the setting for a hostage drama that plays out across a day and a night. As a director, Spike Lee put every part of the building to work, from those strange gargoyle-like figures you see peering down from the 11th floor to the blank, stony appearance of the building's lower walls, which, like so many down here, seemed to give away as little as possible to those on the outside. As the film unfolds, in fact, the bank's high stone walls, intended to conceal so much from view, become an effective symbol of the dark secrets of history itself. Before we head on, take a quick look across the street, to 30 Broad. You classic movie fans will remember this as the Larrabee Building in Billy Wilder's 1954 film Sabrina, starring Humphrey Bogart as business tycoon Linus Larrabee and Audrey Hepburn as his much younger love interest. Audrey Hepburn plays a chauffeur's daughter who, on several occasions, comes downtown to visit his office in scenes that were filmed with Audrey Hepburn herself right here. Now on to Bowling Green. Directions to Location 9. Keep walking down Broad Street one more block. Take a right on Beaver Street and walk two blocks down to the little park called Bowling Green. Location 9, Bowling Green, at the corner of Broadway and Beaver Street. This is actually New York's very first open space, dating back to the 1630s when the city was still a Dutch colony called New Amsterdam. And this was a grassy spot where the colonists used to play their game of nine pins, hence the name Bowling Green. Later it became the place you've seen in hundreds of newsreels, the site of the famous ticker tape parades for everyone from Charles Lindbergh to John Glenn to the New York Yankees. They call it the Canyon of Heroes, and it starts right here and moves up Broadway to your right. Many of the buildings here have been stars in their own right. You can't help but notice the old U.S. Custom House at the foot of the park. It was built originally to process the flood of customs duties from ships entering the busy port of New York. Now it's a sumptuous home for the Museum of the American Indian. In his 1988 film, Working Girl, the director Mike Nichols turned its marble lobby and wood-paneled offices into the headquarters of the mysterious, all-powerful Trask Enterprises. In Ghostbusters 2, the following year, the building doubled as the Metropolitan Museum of Art in a scene where a supernatural villain escapes from a medieval painting and goes on to wreak havoc in the streets. To the left of the Custom House is No. 2 Broadway, one of the first glass-walled skyscrapers built down here after World War II. The tower got a facelift a few years ago, but before then, its jazzy, checkered facade enjoyed a star turn in the great 1960 Billy Wilder film The Apartment. The building is the headquarters of a big insurance company, Jack Lemmon tells us in voiceover, while the camera tilts up to show us the endless sea of windows on the facade, then comes inside to show us a sea of desks within, all filled with workers pecking away on their adding machines. Finally, we find Jack himself, playing a junior accountant, somewhere among them. It was Wilder's brilliant way of setting up his main character, while getting a little dig in about the modern corporate world and modern architecture along the way. To finish up our tour, We need to take a little jaunt through Battery Park, to the water. Directions to Location 10. Start by circling around Bowling Green to the left, then cross State Street to enter Battery Park. Once inside the park, walk directly toward the low stone structure called Castle Clinton, then circle around it to the left to the promenade. Look for Gangway 4 at the water's edge. Location 10, the Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, and Battery Park. Gangway 4, Battery Park Promenade. As we stand here by the water, our eyes are inevitably drawn out to the harbor and two of America's greatest landmarks, the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island. It's probably impossible to count the number of times Frederick Bartholdi's giant statue has appeared in films. We certainly remember it from the opening shot of 1988's Working Girl, filmed from a helicopter that circled dramatically around her head and crown, and from Splash, where Daryl Hannah plays a mermaid who turns into a woman and takes her first steps on land near the statue's base, shocking the nearby tourists because as a mermaid, of course, she isn't wearing any clothes. Immediately to the right of the statue, you can make out the domes of Ellis Island, the federal immigration station where tens of millions of newcomers were admitted to America between 1892 and 1924. Ellis Island has been featured on screen a number of times, most memorably, perhaps, in Francis Ford Coppola's 1974 film The Godfather, Part 2, set in the early 1900s, in which we watch a young Vito Corleone pass through its crowded halls, only to be detained in a holding area on the south side of the island. Coppola's film was shot on Ellis Island long after it had stopped functioning as an immigration station, but before its renovation in the 1980s, when it became the popular tourist attraction it is today. To see it on screen in its fully restored state, you can look at a scene in Hitch, made in 2005, where Alex Hitchens, the so-called date doctor played by Will Smith, provides a private tour of the facility to Eva Mendez with the help of a friendly Park Service guide. The guide tells them that 100 million Americans can trace a family member who came through the main hall and goes on to remind them, "You can't know where you're going till you know where you've been." Now turn around and look at the promenade itself, which, in its way, has been just as much a film star in a whole string of movies from the early 20th century to today. Most of them deal with themes of transformation and identity, not surprisingly, given that this was the first soil touched by millions of foreign immigrants after arriving by ferry from Ellis Island. Its first appearance, in fact, was in the first feature-length movie ever made in New York, a 1913 film called Traffic in Souls. In a scene shot at the ferry landing right here, we see a Swedish immigrant girl, just off the boat, approached by a well-dressed stranger who tries to lure her into a white slavery ring. The story goes that while shooting the scene, some New Yorkers thought an actual abduction was taking place and tried to interfere. Later, they were amused to see the two actors, the immigrant girl, and the kidnapper, laughing together in the back seat of a limousine heading up Broadway. We'll continue the story and finish the tour by walking a little farther along the promenade. Directions to Location 11. Walk west and north along the promenade, that is, with the water on your left, passing the security tent for the Statue of Liberty ferry and ending up at Gangway 6. Location 11. Battery Park Promenade. Gangway 6, Battery Park Promenade. Even after Ellis Island shut down and the immigrant ferries stopped running, filmmakers kept playing on the echoes of this spot, where so many people had left behind who they were and began taking on a new, American identity. In the 1965 film Mirage, for example, Gregory Peck doesn't know who he is at all. Peck played a Manhattan businessman named David Stilwell, but he doesn't seem to know much about his life, or who he really is, or why several mysterious people are trying to kill him. He walks along the Battery Promenade, right here, with a beautiful stranger, hoping she can help him put the pieces together, help him work out his identity, and find out who he actually is. Another scene about lost identity is probably the one most remembered from this spot, the moment in Desperately Seeking Susan, from 1985, in which a housewife played by Rosanna Arquette is attacked and hit in the head by a man who has confused her for another woman. Susan, played by Madonna. Amnesia sets in, even as the housewife's purse, with all the clues to her identity, drops into the water. Right at this spot, she begins to become Susan, a transformation that again plays on the same themes, the loss of one identity and the gaining of another. Finally, turn to look at those benches, right here facing out to the water, which were the setting for yet another memorable scene of cinematic transformation. In the 1997 film, Men in Black, Special Agent K, played by Tommy Lee Jones, tries to recruit to his secret force a promising candidate, a New York cop played by Will Smith. In order to do so, he has to tell Smith the hidden truth, that there are a few thousand aliens from other planets living in New York. Most of them good folks, he adds, just trying to get along. It's a clever play on the fact that the city really is home to thousands of aliens, people from other countries, of course, not other planets. And where better to reveal it than this particular place, where so many of the original aliens, in other words, the immigrants, first arrived on America's shores. With that, we come to the end of our tour. If you walk back through the park toward State Street, you'll find a variety of subway lines, from the 4 and 5 on Bowling Green to the 1, R, and W trains at South Ferry. I always think public transportation is best, for environmental reasons, but if you do want to take a taxi, you can usually find one right over at Whitehall Street, at the end of the promenade ahead of you. I'm Matthew Modine, and on behalf of myself and the Mayor's Office of Film, Theater, and Broadcasting, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much for joining us.